When Jesus noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus said also to the Pharisees who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case that they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
It is fairly clear that the theme of today's readings is about humility, humility. And I'm pretty sure I shared with you before a saying of St. Bernard of Clairvaux. And his feast day, we just celebrated a little while ago on August the 20th, we celebrated St. Bernard of Clairvaux. But when he was asked what the four most important virtues are, he said, "Humility, humility, humility, and humility." Humility is a very, very important virtue for us to cultivate. And within today's gospel message, there's several things, about three things that I'd like to focus in on in terms of this virtue of humility and cultivating that virtue. One of the things that we always need to recognize is our own insufficiency by ourselves, that we need the help of God, we need the help of others. And at the end of the gospel today, the final thing that Jesus says when he talks about inviting those who are needy, don't invite those who can pay you back. Invite the poor, the crippled, and the needy. Those are the ones you should be extending kindness to. You know, for many, many years in the history of Christianity, there was a deep sense of the interplay between different people, how we could help one another out in terms of our path to salvation. Because there was this sense that if I give to the needy, you know, I've got this money that you need because you are materially impoverished, but you have prayers that I need. And there was this understanding that I would give you this material wealth, but you would pray for me. And that in a sense, there's that exchange that would happen. Even in centuries past, there would be people in their wills for their funeral. They would invite to their funeral all sorts of people who were needy and feed them. But the people who were invited had an understanding that they were there to pray for the person who had passed away. What a wonderful thing if we could recover this kind of an understanding, that, you know, we would give, but those who receive charity from others, that they would have an understanding that I need to pray for that person. I need to pray for the person who has given this material good to me. And once again, I know I've said this before, but Cardinal George, who was the Cardinal Archbishop of Chicago years ago, he's passed on, but he said to a gathering of his wealth, the wealthy donors in the diocese, he said, "The poor need you to keep them out of poverty, but you need the poor to keep you out of hell." There is a sense in which God hears the cry of the poor. The Lord hears the cry of the poor. And so again, we want to always acknowledge that. Even in the wedding masses that we have today, at the final blessing at weddings, one of the options that we have says this in the final part of the blessing. It says, "May you be witnesses in the world to God's charity, so that the afflicted and needy who have known your kindness may one day receive you thankfully into the eternal dwelling of God." So I've given to people in need, but they will welcome me into the eternal dwelling of God. It would be a wonderful thing, I think, if we could recover this sense of, I can help you out, but you can help me out too. And this mutual reality of helping one another through the struggles of this life into the eternal dwelling of God. Another thing that we find in today's readings is being humble when it comes to our approach to God. When we look at today's second reading from the letter to the Hebrews, the author of the letter to the Hebrews is contrasting two experiences. The experience of the Israelites when they came out of Egypt and got to Mount Sinai, and Moses went up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, and Moses told the people that God was going to speak to them. But he said, get yourselves ready. Be ready for this experience. But the people didn't do what Moses told them to do, so that when they went to the mountain, there it was a terrifying experience that they had, because they didn't properly dispose themselves to be able to receive this message from God. So much so that they said, we don't want God to speak to us anymore. Moses, you go and speak to God and tell us what God said. We don't want God to speak to us. It's too terrifying. But he contrasts that experience with the gentle way in which God has come to us now in Jesus. So we have this terrifying experience of God that the Israelites experienced, and we find this very gentle experience of God that comes to us through Jesus. But I think in many ways we need to be able to hold on to both. You know, years and years ago, the Redemptorist fathers were always very famous for their parish missions, that they would go from parish to parish to give. But they were very famous for giving these fire and brimstone sermons, you know, just really putting the fear of God in people. And it, you know, it is an unfortunate reality of our fallen human condition that oftentimes we respond more to fear than we do to love. But the reality is we need to be able to hold together both parts of what God has revealed to us about himself, because it is God who has revealed it. For anybody who says, well, my God wouldn't do this or my God wouldn't do that, but what has God said? For me to dictate to God who he's going to be or the reality of himself, for me to dictate that to God is not humble, but it's rather arrogant, because I'm telling God what his business is. If God has revealed something about himself to us, it's always for a reason. And sometimes we need to hear about the gentleness of God, but sometimes we need to hear about the wrath of God too. Because when we get complacent, we need to be motivated out of that complacency. When we get fearful, we need our fears to be allayed. We need our fears to be calmed, to know that God does love us. And he wants our salvation. So to be humble before God is to accept God as he has revealed himself to us, not dictating it to God, but also to be able to accept the help that we need from God, especially in the sacraments, that if God has told us that we need this, we have to say, well, if God says so, it must be so. And to be able to accept what God has said about himself and about our neediness and what God is providing for us and how God is providing that for us. All of these things are very important. But the final thing is in the parable that Jesus tells in today's gospel. I find it very interesting because Jesus is talking to them about humility. And he says, don't take the highest place, take the lowest place, and maybe your host will invite you to go up higher. I find it interesting because in a sense, Jesus is playing on their pride to get them to act humbly. He's playing on their pride to get them to act humbly. Because you could very pridefully take the lowest place, expecting that your host is, oh, and look at how important I am, type of thing. But as it's applied to our eternal salvation, we know that we should want the level of glory that God has in store for us, but that we're able to achieve that glory if we're humble. So we always want to take the humble place, knowing that it's God who's going to lift us up. It's God who's going to exalt us. We don't have to exalt ourselves, because God knows who we are. And the more that we humble ourselves, as Jesus took the path of humility, the more that we humble ourselves, the more that God is going to be able to exalt us. So I just find it interesting how Jesus plays on their pride. But there is a sense of, if we act in a particular way, we can bring about the result, even if we don't feel it initially. We can very often operate from a lower motivation in order to eventually achieve a higher motivation. It says in Scripture that those who do the truth come to the light. And so sometimes, even if we don't feel humble, if we act in a humble way, oftentimes humility will take root in us, and we can become more humble in following in the ways of God. It's the sort of thing of fake it until you make it. You know, that you do what's right, even when you don't feel like it. Because by doing what is right, you can bring about the virtues that God wants to see in you and that we want to cultivate in ourselves. So humility, again, what I'm giving you today is not a complete outline of the virtue, but it is something we always have to remember, how important the virtue of humility is. And to understand humility in terms of the neediness that I have. I need from you, because I need your prayers. I need from God, because I need God's graces. And I humble myself to be able to give in order that I might receive. And so we want to always have that posture of giving. We give some of our time to God to come to church so that we can receive God's graces. We give some of our resources to the poor so that we can receive their prayers. In all of this, we see that we need to open our hearts more to be able to receive the good things that God has for us, but also that others can provide for us. But now let us profess our faith in God as we say together,